This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Tomorrow, we're at Rudy's Golf in Kingstown, Alexandria. Should be a great day. The Nationals open a brand new campaign, and we will be partying before first pitch at Rudy's. Come on out and hang with your pals, G&D. Ryan will be out there. He'll be the guy eating buffalo chicken dip. They've got a two-level driving range, top tracer technology, couple of putt-putt courses, and a full restaurant. Fun for the entire family. Visit rudysgolf.com. Rudy's Golf is the new go-to spot for golf and entertainment. Danny, has Ted Leonsis made a statement? You said when we were going to break, I heard you say you thought you were reading a quote from him.
I thought there was, but this is, I guess, some reporting here from the Washington Post. Maybe based on older quotes, but this is just a story ultimately saying that it's going to happen. There'll be an announcement, I guess, at some point, and it's referring, I guess, to previous quotes of the mayor and Ted Leonsis having talked and making nice with each other. So I have not seen any new statements as yet.
Question for you guys. How do you feel about the Capitals and the Wizards staying in D.C.? We're awaiting word on when Ted Leonsis or the mayor in D.C. are going to be saying something, but sounds like $500-plus million going to be given to Monumental to upgrade Capital One Arena as part of this new deal. Virginia is dead as a doornail. In fact, the mayor of Alexandria, Justin Wilson's come out and said that they are no longer moving forward with the Potomac Yard location. Let's go to Jason in Bethesda.
From Bethesda!
Jason, what's good, buddy?
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Hey, buddy.
So, personally, I'm very relieved. I'm excited. I was obviously disappointed when the news came out in December. Having said that, I do feel bad for Virginia sports fans that didn't get this stadium that they've been desiring. As Grant, you mentioned a lot, Virginia's never had a pro sports franchise. So, definitely have empathy towards the folks that had their hopes up and obviously are dashed now. My question is, though, what role do you think the state of Maryland had in this? Obviously, the governor, Wes Moore, is a huge sports fan. I'm sure he was interested. Do you think Maryland was kind of waiting in the wings? And when they saw that the Virginia deal was kind of dying, do you think Maryland made any effort? Because it's obvious that Leonsis has no allegiance to the city of D.C. If he had an offer from Maryland as kind of a backup offer, I'm wondering what the offer was and if that was something that was considered. As a Maryland resident, I'd much rather the team be in D.C. than Maryland, so I'm glad that didn't happen. But just curious what your thoughts are on the role that Maryland played as kind of a second option.
So I don't think, from what I was reading, and it's a good question, I don't think any formal offer was made, just overtures of interest, right? Because Maryland, I don't think, was a key player in landing Monumental Sports at any point in time. And I think this was exploratory, the way those conversations were characterized based on the articles that I read, a.k.a., would you have interest in us building an arena there? Yeah, we would have interest in that. All right, let's agree to talk later on down the line. I don't think it ever got to the point where, and I could be wrong, where Wes Moore was basically saying, hey, here's this dollar figure. We'll come up with this. I'll get it through the legislature. We don't have a Luis Lucas to just, you know, rubber stamp no on stuff, and we'll get this done for you. And then they were able to take that and leverage it with DC. I don't think that's what happened here.
I think that they just were gauging interest. Right. They're just, before they go back to D.C. with their tail between their legs, before they decide if they're going to have to come up with a plan B or C or throw a Hail Mary, I think they wanted to know, hey, what's your level of interest? Is there a location? Is there a will on your end to get anything done here that looks like this? Mm-hmm. And you slide it across the desk. We're looking for something that looks like this. Slide that blueprint over, and Westmore goes, oh, we got a place. We like that.
Yeah, we got a spot.
And right away, as you said, the report that came out was, doesn't sound like there's a whole lot going on there. Because I think Westmore's got his eyes on the prize of the Commanders. Now, I find that to be a mistake in some ways. Number one, I want the Commanders at the RFK site in D.C. I want the football team back in the city. I think it would be a massive development for the return to greatness of that organization. Now, the name changed, and that'll always, I think, alter the algorithm on fan base, loyalty, passion, energy, exuberance. But I do think going back to D.C. would be a game changer in a positive way, and I'm rooting for that. So maybe I have a little bias in this. But I also just, I feel like multi-purpose, multi-team arenas, smaller footprint, you can host tons of different types of events in that venue, are way more beneficial to municipalities, whether it's urban or suburban, whether it's in a city or we're talking about out in space in Maryland, PG County, FedEx, Landover, wherever. I just think that if you have a choice, if you're Wes Moore, you should be courting the Wizards and the Capitals, not the Commanders. And if you're Muriel Bowser and you could do one or the other, you should, over hell or high water, make sure the Wizards and the Capitals aren't leaving Penn Court or a struggling neighborhood over trying to get the Commanders to the RFK site, because I just think there's what you get out of the deal is superior. It's better for, look at Nats Park with more dates. You know, you look at Camden Yards in Baltimore. The more stuff there, 81 games versus 8 to 10 or whatever, I just think it's common sense.
Well, yeah, that's applying practical logic that an elected official would do something that's the benefit of the city. So you're correct when you say that. Of course, having more dates and more activities, more things at a location is the right thing.
Right. What, 200 we were talking about? 200 events at Capital One Arena? I mean, what's the max you're going to have at an NFL stadium?
I mean, at Jerry's World, I think they have 18 events scheduled for calendar year 2024
that
on their website.
True.
That's the last I saw.
Now, that one is so big that no one's building that way anymore, because it is too big that you can't hold, like, you know, high school champion. I mean, I guess they do, but you're not having high school graduations there, right? If you build a 49,000 or a 52,000 seat stadium, which is about half of Jerry's World, just about, it is very much more capable of being used for just
more versatility,
a big multitude of things.
But what elected officials want, legacy projects. Like yesterday, you and I were at the Nationals red carpet. Anthony Williams was there. Do you know why? Anthony Williams was the mayor when baseball came back to Washington, D.C. Name one thing. Now, policy wonks here in town will probably know. But name an Anthony Williams policy. Name something that he was known for. I can't. And I went to kindergarten through college in D.C., and I paid pretty close attention to some things. He was there because he brought baseball back to D.C. That's his legacy. That's what Bowser wants her legacy to be. The football team coming back. The teams that were already playing there, continuing to play there, that's not a legacy piece. You know what I mean? Like, that's just sort of keeping the status quo. Getting to cut that ribbon at that site where we didn't have the land, but we got the land. We didn't have the team, but now we got the team. Josh Harris, me, hard hat, shovel, hand holding hand, up above our heads, picture opportunity. Let's, make sure you get my good side. That's what that is. So, yeah, I mean, in terms of practicality, which would I rather have if I'm acting in the best interest of my city, state, region, whatever? It's the place with more dates, of course, if all things are equal.
Let's go to Andre in Upper Marlboro on GND. What's up, Dre?
Hey, Dre.
Hey, what's up, fellas? I had to throw this out there because when the guy answered the phone, I had to throw it out there. There was two that came out last week or towards the end of the week before that they were bound to D.C. until 2047. Where was Ted actually going? Or was D.C. and Ted and his group? Because if that information is out there, to me, Ted, you're paying people that aren't doing their job as well as D.C. because you should have known this from the get-go.
So a couple like of, real had, quick, I'm going to just hang on a second and I want you to rebut this or continue to chat. So we talked about this last week. Mm-hmm. We had a couple people on that covered this pretty closely. The opinions of everybody that we asked about this and the couple of guests that we had on the air
right.
were that that was DC's version of the story, that Monumentals was they're not correct, essentially. And maybe it ultimately would have been legislated by way of court or something like that. But that the people at Monumental, Ted and company, essentially said, that's not a thing. We can absolutely leave. The 2047 idea is just not real. And when we asked third parties about it, like which side would you assume is right, they all said Monumental. So I don't know that that's actually gospel. It may well be. But what we were able to decipher as just a couple of dudes on the outside looking in was that at best, DC would just pitch a fight, take them to court, and try to hold them to that contract.
And the quick thing I would add to that is if that is true, if that is the case, right, that it's enforceable and there's nothing that Monumental could do, then no other argument is needed at any time. There's no, this is what's best for this. This is what's best for the city. We want this. It's you can't leave. Tough. Right. There'd be no other sentence you'd need to utter. It would just be that. But it's a good question, and it's appropriate to bring up other data points like that.
I think he jumped. But, yeah, the entire time that they were trying to go to Virginia, D.C. was livid. And I mean, they were throwing haymakers.
Yeah.
They were mad. They were, you can say both sides.
Abandoning
dirty,
the
whatever,
city, all this other kind of stuff. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, they got in the mud and were throwing mud around, right? That didn't come up for months. And then all of a sudden, in a release that they put out, the attorney general put out last week.
10 paragraphs in, he mentioned it in addition.
Yeah, way down toward the bottom. He said, oh, by the way, like you might lead with that. If that's really the Thor hammer that you're slamming on the desk to say,
Mjolnir,
you got to stay. Thank you. Is that what it's called?
Mjolnir.
How do you spell it?
M-J-O-L-N-I-R.
No way.
Spell me.
M-J? Like Mjolnir. Michael Jordan?
Yeah.
No kidding. But if that was the end-all, be-all, that they just ended the conversation because you can't leave till 2047, they might have mentioned it before last week, and they might have put it at the top of that attorney general release on what was going on with the teams. Mike in Charleston, what's good?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Hey, buddy.
Lifelong Caps fan as well, and similar kind of to you, Grant, 35 years old. It's all, you know, Capital One's all I've ever known, really.
Do you remember USA? I'm just curious because I have these weird memories of being at games at US Air, maybe even walking in the parking lot, but I don't really remember
it. Because it's half and half for me. I mean, like half my life was one, and then the other.
It's funny you said that, because I do have this one memory of actually walking out of US Air with my dad. And that's like I literally just remember like walking through the doors.
I can picture that it was after a loss. I can picture.
Yeah, it was for a Bullets game against Charles Barkley.
That's about all I remember. I remember going to a Bullets game and one of the Price brothers, would it have been Mark or Brent Price? Which one, like a white sharpshooter for the Bullets?
Brent.
Would have been the mid-90s.
Yeah.
I remember he filled it up. Mirasan was on the team. And I just remember walking through the parking lot. And on the way out, I bought this lunchbox to take to school the next day. That was like inside were a bunch of Crunch Bars. And it was like a bunch of NBA players like Sean Kemp and Shaq and Charles Barkley on the front. I don't know why. That's the one memory really I have. But anyway, sorry.
Yeah, drinking Surge.
Exactly. Anyway,
oh, my God.
So, like I was saying, kind of very team, how dare you? None of this makes sense. Why would you ever do this? But I actually was just up in Boston recently on a business trip and got to go to a Bees game and sit in a box. And it was great. They got crushed by St. Louis, so it was actually fun to be at a Bruins game. But after being in that arena, I immediately kind of realized, I was like, oh God, I see it now. Cause I was very like, what's wrong with Cap One? Everything's fine there. But after being in the Garden, I was like, oh God, I do see what kind of Ted might be having in his mind. So I kind of dug into it, and like the amount of parallels to TD and Capital One, they're like, as we were saying, like, this is the footprint. This is all we have. This is all we can deal with. All of that is kind of there as well. It was built in 1995, very similar timeline, and just kind of dug into more of it. And they renoed it in, I think, like 2016 for some like 160 mil. And that place was like, like you were saying earlier, it looked like a brand new Tesla. It was pretty unbelievable. I mean, state-of-the-art. Club level, state-of-the-art amenities everywhere.
Yeah.
All the bars and everything were super crispy. you know, in a really, really nice, like, food court that you walk in off the street. Just everything made sense. And at the end of the day, I think, you know, for a half bill, what we'll be able to get done there is going to be pretty awesome, and glad it's staying in D.C.
Yeah, I'm very hopeful of what could become with – I mean, that's a lot of money. It's still this –
The nuts and bolts are the same. The bones are the same.
I have two concerns.
Right.
One, think of a house, mm-hmm. okay? If you're going to add value to or make your house better, the first thing you do is go out, and they cannot do that. There's just only so much that can be done right. in one building comparative to, not to say it won't be a lot better. I'm sure it could be. I'm comparing it in my head to the thing I saw in Virginia. That's what I'm comparing it to. And I know Virginia is a trigger word for people, so anywhere else.
The plans for the new place.
Right. New place plans here, mm-hmm. the new Capital One Arena, it's still a 30-plus-year-old. I'll be there when my kid's 12, right? 9 years from now, it'll be a 36-year-old building. I'm sure it'll be better than it is right now when they put $500 million into it. But I just wonder, this is the only market I've ever known.
Mm-hmm.
I am from Virginia, Washington, D.C., region, born and raised, loving all these teams. Is it this way in every market that people don't want new things? People are like, I'm excited. I want to stay at Capital Arena. It's fine. It's fine should not be. Are you a fan that goes to games? You don't want something awesome? Am I in the minority? I'm actually asking that.
No, I think you are, because especially here where everybody's got maybe more political juice than they normally would say in, like,
maybe
Minneapolis or whatever.
Yeah, maybe
seriously.
That's my problem, is I don't care enough about the politics of it that everyone gets so upset about.
Well, because as soon as, in Buffalo, for example, it was like, hey, we need a new stadium. They're like, yeah, oh, of course, God, it's a treasure for our little local market. We need it so badly. Yeah, let's give them some money. But here it's like, a billionaire is going to get money? Yeah! You know what I mean? Like, that bothers a huge percentage of people, including me, by the way. I hate the idea of anybody giving yes. a red cent to the billionaire.
By the way, I could touch a button and either billionaires have to build their own stadiums or they don't, I'm not like some guy that just wants to build stadiums for billionaires. My priority is a new awesome arena,
mm-hmm.
a new awesome stadium. I have been hearing about the next stadium for the Commanders for 15 years. And nothing has been done. They are nowhere. There's been dudes that come and go, guys I like. Or I've had breakfasts and lunches and dinners with people telling me about the new arena. Talk to this team president and that team president. And there's nothing. We're nowhere. There's no NFL stadium that I'm going to this year other than stupid FedEx Field again. Still, I'm still going to FedEx Field. And recently, Jason Wright told me, I'll still be there after the lease is up. I'm the crazy one who wants to stop going there. But let's fight more over whether or not it should be here or there. A bunch of people yelling at me who don't go to the games, by the way. How many games you go to? I've been to Capital One Arena once in the last 2 years. Tell me more how I should feel. I'll be there again in 2 nights. It's so annoying to me. Now, if you're a season ticket holder or someone that goes to games occasionally, I don't know, a couple times, once a year, that could be a good threshold. Once a season, fine. But for people that don't go to games, to tell me, you're an idiot if you want a new arena, this one's fine, says the guy who went there 3 years ago. And it's fine is not good enough. You think when my wife has to tell people, like, what's your husband look like?
He's fine. It's fine.
You think that's what she dreamed of when she was a little girl?
No.
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 You shouldn't dream of fine. You should dream of awesome new venue in a town center with a bunch of new restaurants and bars. It's okay to let yourself dream about
it's
that.
Okay.
It's fine.
I just, like, I keep coming back to the same. I know I've said the same point over and over. I guess we all kind of grab onto our certain things here when it comes to this discussion. I don't care where it is. I've never cared where it is. I want to be, you know, I'd like to be able to go a couple times a year like I normally do, but it's mostly a TV thing for me.
You say that, but you were out on the Landover.
Fair enough.
Maryland,
yeah, it can't be there.
Like, I actually don't care where it is.
Yeah, let me retract that.
Give me something new and I'll go there. You don't want it out by FedEx.
Yes, I've done that my whole life. Or did that for half
is
my life.
Is that personal? Like,
yeah.
You guys have had your thing kind of thing?
Partly. I just, it now, logistically for me, selfishly, on a weeknight, I'm not driving to Landover, Maryland for a Wizards game or a Caps game with my kids. I'm not doing that. Logistically impossible. It's a non-starter. I don't want it there. I did that for 20 years. I saw Michael Adams. I saw Jeff Rulin when you guys weren't doing any of this stuff. All right? I've been there. I paid my dues. I put in my time, please and thank you. I guess my point is, all I care about is the arms race that's going on in professional sports, where the stupid Commanders, change that name immediately, have the worst facility in the sport. Not only the stadium, that's like second or third on my list of things I care about. The stupid practice facility, the linemen meet in the cafeteria. Everybody that comes from a major Division I university came from better facilities than are there at the pros, where they're in quite literally the business of winning football games. That's their business, and they have the worst facilities in the sport. I care about that so much. That's what I care. I care that. The practice facility where the Wizards are supposed to be getting better to try to build this new dynasty is a place that the players don't really go to. It's in the middle of 6.5 miles away from the arena in a neighborhood that a lot of guys don't go to. And now you have the Capitals, who have long standing this cool thing atop the Ballston Mall, which is a neat novelty because you can go watch them skate sometimes and then skate on the same arena floor. It's not enough anymore. It's 2024. Excellent facilities for the players. The latest in sports science, the latest in data, the latest in everything needs to be right there to compete in this arms race. No more, we get by on guts. We get by on heart and joy. No, enough of that crap. Enough of putting logistical challenges in the way of winning. That's the part that I care about. So if that means new stadium in a new municipality, let's do that. If you could somehow add up a layer on top or below of Capital One Arena with that $515 million, so guys don't have to drive to St. Elizabeth to get a couple shots up after hours, do that. That's the part I care about.
What does today's development of the Caps and Wiz staying in D.C. on a new deal do for the Commanders to RFK?
That's a question.
Could be wrong, but it seems like most of you want that to happen, like I do and like Danny does, right? What is the Commander's fallout from this? It's next on GND. We need to give out a second hint for Nats. Who am I? We fell behind. We're going to do it during the 4 o'clock hour, but then the big news broke. It has been a big, big news day in DC sports. Caps and Wiz staying in the nation's capital. So Danny earlier in the show gave hint number one.
I did.
You are playing for tickets to opening day. Three hints will add up to one Nationals player. You got to call in at 800-636-1067 after the final hint. Try to tell us which Washington National Danny is.
Hint the second. I'm an outfielder.
All right. I'm starting to whittle the roster down just a little bit. How do you think today affects the Commanders going to the RFK site? If you guys are just joining us on Grant and Danny, the Caps and the Wiz are staying in D.C., and they're going to get $500+ million from Mayor Bowser in the district. They don't have unlimited funds to
throwing
around the stadiums. So what does this mean? I mean, for giving money to the Commanders, which is presumably going to happen for a new NFL stadium, can they do both?
That is a enormous question. I think it's the question. Now, it's going to require the mayor and the city council to work together. And currently, as it stands, as I understand it, the head of the city council and the mayor, they're not friends. They don't get along. So the way this $500+ million came about, by the way, was the 11th hour and change, maybe after midnight, so to speak. They didn't think they had it in the budget. It wasn't budgeted at all. And then something happened where, whether it was their credit rating or there's a whole bunch of different ins and outs that people don't care about when it comes to city planning. But they basically said, oh my God, we actually are in better shape than we thought. We do have this money. We could put it forward and then eventually have it paid back and this bond and this, that, and the other thing, all these, you know, these machinations of economics and taxation and what the one hand is doing is not what the other hand is doing, et cetera. I always think there's a way when it comes to these sorts of deals, money gets found somehow, this bond or this borrowing or this credit or this tax scheme. And I put that, I don't say that in a nefarious way, but there's always some sort of lever that you can pull to make the columns line up in the way that you want to do it. So, but I don't think ultimately it's easier now. I don't think it clears a path for the Commanders to come back to D.C. I think it's probably more challenging because, again, as you said, the key factor is this. The budget is not unlimited. And until you solve the problem of a an enormous percentage of the workforce that commutes into Washington, D.C., or that used to commute into Washington, D.C., commuting into D.C. again, I don't know where that money's coming from.
My guess is that D.C. was forced to think about the possibility of not having any teams when the Caps and Wiz were going to go to Virginia and they weren't sure yet if they're going to be able to land the Commanders. And whatever that outlook was eventually was so gloomy for a city that needs to recover post-pandemic. Mm-hmm. The study I've cited a couple of times, I don't remember who had this, but basically 49% of foot traffic downtown in D.C. compared to pre-pandemic level because so many companies have left the city. And by the way, this is not a D.C. problem. I've read about this a lot. This is all over the country and cities all over America. Offices just don't exist to the extent that they did with work-from-home opportunities now. And a lot of those offices in areas like D.C. were in the city proper. So I think if you're Mayor Bowser and you realized, pretty stunned, I'm sure, initially, to realize that Leontis and the Caps and the Wiz were actually walking, which she never thought was going to happen.
Yeah, they didn't think it could happen.
She said, yeah, okay, funny, Ted.
Yeah, all right, buddy.
You're going to Virginia, cute. Let me know when you do. And then next thing you know, there's a press conference planned for the next day because we talked about it on the show. We heard from people I was talking to that she stormed into the offices over at Monumental. And she was very, very angry. They were taken by surprise. They were making like 11:30 p.m. phone calls to try to spin some things in the media. And they were really upset. And I totally get it. I mean, they just didn't think it was reality. And then it was that they were trying to go to Virginia. But at that point, now you're thinking, what's our pathway forward in Washington, D.C.? If we don't have the Caps, we don't have the Wiz, we don't have the revenue generated at Capital One Arena, and what if we don't get the Commanders? I think they'll go the other way, and they'll pull it off for both. And maybe I'm completely off base here. I kind of think that we are moving at a really fast clip toward the Commanders going to RFK.
So there's still the federal element where the other side, the Senate, has to vote for something.
Got the sense that that would be the easier of the two things that hadn't happened.
Supposedly, but again, if this Virginia process has taught us anything, it's that it do not assume.
Well, that's fair. I didn't get into this business to talk about stadium deals. It seems like it's all we do, and I am not good at it, and it's certainly not my strength. I want to talk about Jaden Daniels' pro day and break him down as a prospect. But, yeah, I don't know anything, but if I had to bet, I'd say the Commanders going to the FedEx site as of 48 hours ago was pretty likely. And the Caps and the Wiz going to Virginia, I kind of thought would eventually happen, but it wouldn't be for a few years. Well, now if the basketball and hockey team are staying here, I think we'll have three of the teams downtown that we were debating. You add in the Nats, who are right here in the Navy Yard, all four, which is, that's awesome. The fact that they're all in the city is healthy and good.
So, I keep hammering this, but I really believe that the football team coming back is the mayor's legacy. That's the thing. No one's going to remember the apartment building you cut the ribbon in front of, or the revitalized this, that, or the other, or this park. That's how you get remembered.
Won't she get credit, not correct, though? Hold on. Won't she get credit for the Wizards and the Capitals coming back?
I don't think so. Here's why. They were already playing there under her watch. They never left. This whole kerfuffle wasn't because of masterstrokes. It wasn't her genius.
Well, I know that, but I mean, don't you think she'll take a victory lap?
Well, of course she will, but I think people see through that. If you bring the football team back, that then all of a sudden that's new, right? You rip them away from somebody else and you got them. You won that versus you barely managed to hang on despite your best efforts to the contrary.
So if the Commanders don't come back and play at RFK, they're staying out by FedEx at 2.0 with Wes Moore getting a deal? Because if I'm Josh Harris watching this debacle in Virginia, knowing that Jack Kent Cook had a press conference and got embarrassed just as much as Ted did.
Yeah.
No, thank you. Why am I engaging? No wonder why Virginia has never gotten a team, by the way.
Hey, Mitch, look, it's a 703 area code. Voicemail. Nope.
Seriously, you want to deal with that?
No. Shtick aside, the amount Virginia would have to have done before I even took their call is astronomical now. But, in other words, I need signed documents by everybody, binding, and if you violate it, you go to a gulag for 1,000 years.
Bro, you had the governor and the entire city council sitting on stage with you this time.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm not returning your phone calls, Virginia. You're in timeout for stadium talk.
You better have Senator Louise Lucas sitting on that dais with you. she better get a spot at the press conference.
Mm-hmm.
If she's not talking, I'm not believing it at this point.
Exactly right. And even if people are, again, even if people are talking, like Virginia has basically lost its privilege to try for a stadium. Like this debacle, whether you're happy about it, sad about it, whatever, this is an embarrassment for the state. You know what I mean? Like the way that whole thing went.
Most people won't view. I don't want to say most. A lot of people will not view it that way. Don't you?
Because they didn't want it.
Exactly.
Right? Like and that's fine. This is happening. We're full speed ahead. No, we're not. Whoopsie daisy. It was a lot of people worked real hard, and we were so happy with the work. And thank you very much. Wish everyone well. Like the press conference was had.
No,
like that happened.
It's super embarrassing for Leontis.
Yeah.
It's super embarrassing for Glenn Youngkin. No mm-hmm. doubt about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the state didn't look real good.
And I don't think Leontis, now again, there's a whole other debate as to leaving the city and is it the right thing to do and does he have any fiduciary responsibility and getting money from the state, all the stuff that everyone wants to scream at me about.
Mm-hmm.
But my point is, I don't think he did anything wrong. Not all that other stuff that you guys want to yell at me about. But he got a deal with Virginia, went and sat on the stage and thought that they would be able to work out the deal.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think they had any idea that this Senator Lucas, who said, I'm not going to help you, meant it to the extent that she meant it. Because she said, I want toll money. And they go, okay, well, we're not going to just give her that. We're going to give her a lot more than that. She got three times the amount of toll money she asked for. I think they thought, like any normal political situation, this will work itself out. It didn't work itself out.
It didn't work out.
But yeah, if you're Glenn Youngkin, he was in full-on politician screaming microphone mode that day.
Remember he was Howard Deaning it, yeah.
He was Howard Deaning. He was like, what a day for the Commonwealth! You know, so much of the over-the-top shtick.
Uh-huh.
So much of that. Today's not great for him.
No. Again, I can't stop thinking about this one thing. It's about a little over 100 days since the first announcement. Think about the odyssey we've been on for 100 days.
The odyssey?
No. Not the Odyssey. That's a radio company.
Okay.
The Odyssey.
Part audacious.
Part
Odyssey.
Odyssey. Yeah. It's an audacious Odyssey.
We are audacious.
Yeah, we're very audacious together.
If we are nothing,
together.
We are on an Odyssey, ladies and gentlemen.
There's probably a new podcast called Audacious that we'll advertise for.
Grant and Danny on The Fan. Top of the hour, it sounds like Ted Leontis might be speaking about today's developments. Caps, Wiz staying in the nation's capital. Let's talk to Eric Flack, WSA-TV9. He's been all over this story. He's been on with us a bunch over the last year. What an incredible several months this has been, Eric. I mean, we've called you for updates every step of the way. Today was an okey-doke, wasn't it?
I did not expect this when I woke up this morning. I mean, I knew we all did not know that what was going to happen next with this arena deal. But I got to be honest, I did not expect this to come together this quick and for Ted Leontis and the Monumental crew to kind of wave the white towel in Virginia this quick. But that's what happened. And we started hearing about it this afternoon. And it quickly became clear that an announcement was coming, and you start reaching out to Virginia officials, and they're telling you they're about to issue a statement. You kind of knew from the Virginia officials who kind of announced that the negotiations were over, and, you know, congrats on to Ted Leontis on getting a new deal, what the outcome was. But, yeah, the $515 million, the control, the streetscape, improvements down here in the Penn Quarter area, around Gallery Place, around the arena. It was enough to get it done. Maybe he saw the writing on the wall, the attorney general getting involved in D.C., threatening legal action, and he just decided, you know what, enough is enough. I'll just take the deal I got. But I didn't expect it to happen like this.
How did this come together this quickly? I guess the framework was already in place, but still, it just seems insane to me that we were doing Virginia like a day ago, and now it's like, nope, we've always been here, plus $15 million.
Listen, I've talked to people from the city who said, especially in recent weeks, were in contact with Monumental. They definitely kept their cards close to the vest. I think the negotiating group, so to speak, with Ted Leonsis was not all of D.C. Council. Like, you know, I think it was, you know, Chairman Mendelson, Phil Mendelson, who's chair of the D.C. Council. I think it was Mayor Bowser. I think it was her top people. I think, you know, it's somewhere along the line, and we're going to find out here in a couple minutes when a press conference starts with Mayor Bowser, Ted Leonsis, and others. We're going to find out, you know, what got the deal done. You know, yes, it was an extra $15 million, but that doesn't seem like enough to, you know, change somebody's mind. You know, was it the vision? Was it the city's commitment to do more on their own dime around the arena to kind of clean up this area, which has always been an issue? You know, were there some concessions that they threw in to sweeten the pot that just had him as a businessman saying, you know what, a deal's a deal? And I think when he finally said, okay, let's talk seriously, I think Mayor Bowser got burned so bad on the first go round with not getting this deal done. I would imagine she got her people in a room with his people and said, let's hammer this out now. Let's not, you know, mess around this time. You know, I was criticized for losing these teams once. I'm certainly not going to lose them twice. And I think that may have played a role in just, you know, her seeing an opportunity, an opening, and then things moving very quickly from there.
Eric Flack of Channel 9. Only got about a minute left here. So briefly, I'm curious, how do you think this affects the Commanders to RFK? Do they have enough money to figure that out too?
One of the first questions that I or somebody in this press conference is going to ask, it's on everybody's mind, and I'm sure that Ted Leonsis is going to love sharing his moment in the spotlight with a question about a Commander stadium for Josh Harris. I think, you saw the reports out of the owners' meeting. You saw that Josh Harris has been watching what was going on in Virginia. I think if there's the money, I fully expect Mayor Bowser to say, this changes nothing. The question is, it's the Phil Mendelsons of the world. It is other D.C. council people who actually supported keeping, you know, the Caps and the Wizards at Capital One, who don't necessarily support, you know, the Commander Stadium. So, you know, yes, I think I don't think she's going to say we're done. That'd be a bigger headline. That's not going to happen. I do think, though, that in a city that has a revenue issue that just gave away $500 million, half a billion dollars to Ted Leonsis, I don't know what couch they're going to find another billion under for Josh Harris. But, you know, he's been known for financing his own projects. So we shall see.
Eric, thank you as always, but I know you're swamped.
Take it easy.
See you, bro.
Bye, Eric Flack, Channel 9 in D.C. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Ted Leonsis is going to speak before we're off the air. We're taking you up to 6:30 on GND. Also, Jaden Daniels Pro Day today. We've got some thoughts on some of the rumblings coming out from that Pro Day. Danny, we need a third and final hint. Nats, who am I?
I played over 150 games last year. I played over 150 games for the Nationals last season.
You know what to do. Good luck. You're trying to win opening day tickets. GND on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your
your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.